morning, sir. We're doing just fine. We will continue your hearing at this time, and as we were last time, the Honorable Miss Woodhouse is serving as the lead for the hearing, and she will continue to lead the hearing. And once she gets started, we will contact the doctor and go from there. So the next voice we hear will be that of Miss Woodhouse, who was leading the hearing the last time, sir. Yes, sir. What I'm saying is that we will start the hearing from where we ended to the last time. Can you hear me now, sir? Okay, and Miss Woodhouse, who's sitting right next to me, she was leading the hearing the last time. She was the leader of the hearing the last time, and she will continue to lead your hearing at this time. And so once she gets started, then we will contact the doctor. So please just hold on, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Sewell?
Yes?
Could you please start by stating your full name again and your ABC number?
Randy Charles Sewell. Sewell 883.2.
Thank you, sir. We're actually resuming a hearing that had been continued. We'd started it on a previous day, so I'll just start with a very brief summary. This crime involves a safe that was stolen from a church's chicken. I believe Mr. Sewell told me he has partially paid his restitution, which is owed. I think the restitution was $2,200, and he has paid part of it. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay. He is serving 5 years for burglary third degree as a result of that incident, which occurred on October 17th, 2013. He has previously requested a commutation of sentence in November of 2016, but at that time the board voted to not pass that to phase two, or in other words, not refer that to the governor for consideration. He is requesting, at this time, his sentence ending date is January 21st of 2019, but he is requesting a 1.5 year reduction in his sentence, which would result in time served. Essentially, he could potentially be released if the governor approved his commutation on whatever date that governor approves it. We did review his criminal history on the previous hearing, which is on the record, so I won't do that again. We had talked about his discipline, and he described the issues that those represented. And we also talked about his prison programming. Present in the room with us, again, is his wife. And I just note that in the last hearing, she also had two friends who were with her today that day. And both of those friends testified that they would lend her support as far as helping to care for you. And we understood that she works in a group home kind of care facility and alternates between being there and at her home. And her two friends, the reason that was important is they agreed to help support in whatever way they could with your care and your residence. And that you would go stay at the group home when your wife was at the group home. That would not be a problem. The group home itself is a family-run organization, so the management would not have any problem with that at all. And that was all discussed and taken care of. Okay, the problem we had in the last hearing is that we could not reach the physician, and we need to have a physician testimony. So what we'll try to do, evidently staff has spoken to Dr. Chang in the interim, so we'll try to reach Dr. Chang now. And Dr. Chang is your oncologist, is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. So we'll try to reach her now.
Hello?
Dr. James, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I think that you were prepared to speak with us this morning, am I correct?
Right.
Okay, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse is conducting a hearing at this time, and she will ask you for your testimony. So please hold on, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Chang. Thank you so much for participating in this hearing today. Could you please just start by stating your full name and describe your credentials and your relationship with Mr. Sewell?
Oh, okay. My name is Monique Chang. I'm a medical oncologist, hematologist, and I've been following Mr. Sewell for his myeloma, multiple myeloma.
And how long have you been his physician for that?
Let me just check the date here.
Just approximately.
Okay. He was in my office in the past, but it was this year that I met him. But let me just kind of
okay, so sometime in 2018, this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much. So we have very, very limited, in fact, I have no medical information. We had heard previously that he has multiple myeloma, and he has some other conditions as well. But we needed to hear from you. We just need to be able to hear from you kind of what's his prognosis and anything else you'd like to tell us. So can you please just tell us anything you think would be relevant, Doctor?
Well, he does have multiple myeloma, and he has been on treatment for this, and he's had multiple hospitalizations for anemia, where his blood count was low, requiring transfusion. He was requiring transfusion at least on a weekly basis to support the blood count. We had done a bone marrow biopsy to see if it was from the myeloma, and the bone marrow biopsy did not show signs of multiple myeloma affecting red cell production. It looked like his ability to form red cells was suppressed, which we presume could be from his prior treatment. He was receiving Revlimid. So the bone marrow suppression could be related to his prior meds.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sewell. Well, sir, we'll do our best to turn the volume up. I think it's that one. Yeah, that should. We'll turn the volume up as high as we can for it. Okay, Dr. Chang, I don't know if it's possible for you to speak. You have a very soft-toned voice, and I don't know if you're in an area where you can speak a little louder. Mr. Sewell is having a hard time hearing you, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
okay.
Good.
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You had mentioned bone marrow problems.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's not manufacturing the red cells normally, which is why he needed transfusions at the hospital.
Okay.
And he really needs the transfusions to support his blood count. He's dependent on them.
Okay. All right, and what other conditions does he have, Doctor?
So other medical issues that we've seen with him is the renal failure, where he does need hemodialysis. He's also had clots in the fistula that was used for dialysis, and he's on blood thinners for that.
Okay. All right. And it looks like he has hypoglycemia. Is that true?
Yeah, I noticed he did have low sugar noted in the hospital.
Okay. All right, well, Doctor, part of our, the reason for this hearing is that Mr. Sewell is requesting commutation of his sentence based on imminent danger of death. And for us, that translates to a life expectancy of 4 months or less. So in your medical opinion, do you believe that Mr. Sewell meets that criteria? What would be your thoughts?
He does meet the criteria. He is really dependent on the blood transfusion. So if those were stopped, that his life expectancy could be less than a month.
And if they were not stopped, what is his life expectancy in your medical opinion?
If he continued with the transfusions, it could buy him a few more months, but unlikely to be greater than 4 months.
Okay, doctor. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have questions for you. Dr. White has a question.
Yes, doctor. Let me make sure I understand. How often does he get these transfusions at this point, ma'am?
It looks like he needs the transfusions twice a week.
So how long has he been receiving these transfusions, ma'am?
He's been transfusion dependent this year, and he's needed more transfusions as the months go by. So the last time he was discharged from the hospital, it was recommended that he get labs done twice a week to get transfused twice a week. And they were trying to set it up outpatient to try to prevent ER admissions.
Okay. I guess I'm a little lost now. You expect that his, I know that as we always say, which is very true, none of us know when death will come. That's something that none of us know, but we have to make a judgment, because this is a recommendation that we would have to send to the governor. When I say we, this board, the Board of Executive Clemency, would have to send a recommendation to the governor. We want to make sure that I want to make sure, as one board member, that I understand what his condition is, because, you know, he communicates quite well, if this board were to recommend to the governor and the governor would accept this recommendation, what would actually happen? Would he be able to go and reside with his wife or whomever? Or what would, I'm just trying to get a feel of what would actually, from your perspective, what would be required?
So if he was discharged to home, he would have to get blood counts done twice a week to check the complete blood count. And then if he needed a transfusion, usually he does the following day, he would have to get a type of screen and then go in for the transfusion either that day or the following day. So most of the week would be taken up by lab work and going in for the transfusion.
That's what's happening now. For the most part, he's doing the transfusions, and that's what's actually happening at this point now. It takes up much of his week receiving this treatment.
I don't know if the correctional facility set him up twice a week, because we just send the orders to recommend it, and then they would take him. So I don't know if they actually have been taking him.
Okay, but they do not, and forgive me for asking, but I want to make sure that I understand, but they do not provide you with the records once they carry out their responsibility.
Right, they don't tell us when they bring him.
Now, how often do you see him?
He actually has been in the hospital so often that I haven't seen him in the office since April of 2018 because he's been in the hospital every few weeks.
And I don't know if we have a record with you at this time. When was the last time he was in the hospital, ma'am?
Last hospital note I have is May 27.
So he's in and out of the hospital.
Right.
And so the last time he was in the hospital, according to your records, and they may not be up to date, would have been about May 27th, am I correct?
Right.
And once again, if the governor, if this were recommended and the governor accepted that recommendation for clemency, what would be required of his family? How would he, I mean, what would be recommended? And I know this is not your responsibility, but would he be well enough to be transported to his residence? And would anything be required? Or would he ride in a regular automobile? Or how would he function, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
I mean, as long as he could get into the car and out of the car on his own, you know, he would not need a medical transport to get home or to get from his home to an outpatient infusion center.
Let me just ask one or two other questions, then I'll stop. Okay, now see, I'm not a medical person at all. I am, only thing I know about medicine is I go to the doctors whenever I'm required to go to the doctors. Now, when you go to these centers, are these centers located throughout the community, ma'am?
No, there are specific hospitals that do transfusion. So, wherever he's going to live, if he's discharged, if our office set it up, there's only two or three hospitals in the area that do outpatient transfusions.
Okay, doctor. Well, thank you so very much. You've been just so helpful. I still appreciate you taking the time. So I'm going to turn you back over to our lead for today. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Sewell?
Yes.
Are you chilly? It looks like you're chilly a little bit.
Yes, I am. I'm always cold. I'm not in person. I think it's a condition of this man in Canada. So we're like, yesterday, when we got in here at the same time, some guy looked me down at, and I had seen the man with the guy was cold. He said, yes, he always cold.
Okay.
So I went and I was cold.
Okay, so I was just concerned. I know you just had the treatment this morning, and I want you to be okay. Okay, all right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Quinones has a question for you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Doctor, can you hear me clearly? Hold on one second. Doctor, can you hear me clearly?
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. I didn't have my microphone on for a second. I have a what I think is a tough question, and it's not intended to be so clearly. But considering the information that we've learned today, why is he not in hospice already? And what I mean is, it sounds like he's receiving treatment. If I heard this correctly, if he receives dialysis, he might live another month. What is the end game of him continuing to receive dialysis with such a bleak prognosis? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and we did discuss hospice with him back in May, and I think he signed up for it, but then he declined the hospice, so he was offered it before.
Okay, so he is fighting to prolong his life right now, correct?
Right, so when he was last in hospital, in the end of May, it was rediscussed, and he has declined the hospice.
Okay. Thank you for your input, Doctor. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, well, let's see. Ms. Willis, are you able to come up and... Thank you for coming back again. I know it was kind of difficult for you to come back. Could you just start by stating your name? Thank you. Now, you heard from the doctor some kind of the extent of what this would involve. So it sounds like 2 times a week tests for blood count and then possible transfusion 2 times a week. Are you prepared to...
Yes, and it's called the hospital at East Atlantic Avenue, and I can't figure the name of it, but they have a community where they give you blood transfusions.
Okay, so you know one of these hospitals where the transfusions can be, and I'm sure they would tell you where it can be done. But I'm just saying you have the resources. I know you have your two friends here, so you have the ability to transport him around and to get away from your other job and, okay, to take care of him. Okay, just want to make sure that you're aware that it's going to be pretty intense, but luckily you're in that field already, so you understand what that would take. Okay. All right. Any other questions from Ms. Wells? Dr. Wright?
Yes, ma'am.
Has a question.
I apologize for having to ask, but I feel obligated for something this important. Have we already made arrangements financially and so forth to be responsible for your husband if he's granted clemency now? By that, I mean, I believe that from the one of these centers, that's going to require financial or something. I don't know if we have insurance or any arrangements been made, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask. Yes, ma'am, or any other health conditions that you might have.
Yes. I have my sisters and brothers have money, so that's how we do it.
I don't want to sound. I hate to ask these questions. I really do. But let me apologize for asking them. I accept the fact that you have that you have resources, and I really appreciate that. But it is my understanding that based upon my real experience, not the extensive experience dealing with the medical profession, they can be, I won't say that in this case, they can be very expensive. You know, and could you really count on the resources that you and your family and friends might have to take care of this? Because medical, you know, you can get into the tens of thousands of dollars before you know it. But, you know, 2 or 3 weeks sometime, they've already sent you a bill for $10,000 or $25,000. And I'm just wondering if you're prepared to look at something to take care of him, you know. And I'm not saying that would be this case because I don't understand, as I said to the doctor, what this involves. But it's been my experience and with others that I've dealt with. It can be very, very expensive, and that's the reason I'm asking this question. Have you looked into access or any other possibilities that might be out there that would provide some assistance, financial assistance for him? Because he you know, based on what we knew, there's a real possibility he could live for 4 months, or there's a possibility he could live for 6 months, or whatever. And I'm just wondering if that can add up real, real fast in terms of money. Yeah, forgive me for asking, but I just felt obligated to ask.
Oh, no, it's okay. I apologize. I missed the stupid question, but access is available to him. It's just that I can't give him an access unless he's physically there.
You said you cannot get him one until when?
Until he's physically there in front of him. So he would take the word for signing or say it's okay to ask him to be happy.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for coming, especially for coming back again. Okay, Mr. Sewell, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, sir, and we want to give you the chance. Is there anything else that the board should know? Is there anything else you've thought of that you should tell us? Mr. Sewell, hold on 1 second. Dr. Chang?
Yeah.
If you have other, I don't want to keep you, I know you're very busy, and if you have other patients to see, we want to thank you very much for participating, and if there's nothing else you need to add, you're welcome to stay on the line or hang up as you prefer.
Oh, okay, great, and I'll hang up then.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you, Dr. Ray. Back to you, Mr. Sewell. Was there anything else you wanted to let the board know?
I believe that my family will take good care of me, but I did everything wrong. We care for what I don't put to the right hand. If I do what you do, they come down and see me quite often, which is about 8 hours a week. I bring them to wherever you can. Like I just get me here. I have nothing to do about it. My wife just said this comes to here, but I don't know anything about it. So they are determined to keep on so they can look after me.
Okay, so yes, it does appear that you have a lot of support. So we appreciate that. Okay, so then if you have nothing else to add, the board is going to go into discussion. So we do all of our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we will we'll go into discussion. We just ask that you remain on the phone and just remain silent. Okay, sir? All right. So the board is now in discussion. This case is a difficult one for me because of all of the imminent danger of death hearings we've heard. Mr. Sewell appears to be, to me, I'm not a medical doctor, he appears to be the most ambulatory, I don't know how to describe it, individual of any of the others that we've heard. And in the previous hearing we held, he even indicated he was thinking of going to work. Which, for any previous imminent danger of death hearings we've had, it would have been impossible for those people to go to work based on their medical condition. Ms. Willis, I believe Ms. Willis could provide the care because she's in that line of work already. It's potentially a lot of medical care in this particular case with these conditions as the doctor described. So I wouldn't necessarily be concerned about that, but it is a lot of medical care that's required. I'm very torn because in this particular case, and based on his observable physical condition, I'm not. And the fact that, you know, as he just told us, he didn't apply for this. His wife applied on his behalf. He wasn't even aware. He had applied for a commutation previously, and that had been not recommended. So I would welcome some more discussion on this one because I'm floundering here. Thank you, sir. Mr. Kinnaeus.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I do think this is a very unique case. I think what is confusing my sensibilities, and this is tough, because that's, as I said to Dr. Chang, I certainly don't intend to be cold, but he's fighting to prolong his life, and he's rejected hospice. And I'm almost, this is going to sound like strange logic, but I'm almost wondering if he wouldn't receive a better chance of prolonging his life and continued care if he finished his sentence inside the Department of Corrections.
and stayed on his dialysis plan. I'm seeing it much the way you are in terms of justifying this case to the governor's office. This one's not very clear cut, and I'll just continue from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. And I'll just mention again, his sentence end date is January 21st of 2019, which is 6 months away. So, any other thoughts from board members?
Well, I think I'm on the fence as well, and I think that some of the questions that I raised with him and the doctor kind of suggest that I'm really concerned not being in the medical field, but however, sitting here and watching several individuals who've come before this board for IBD, he's a unique individual. That's for sure. None of us know what death is. None of us know how soon death is coming. But and I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to appear to be disrespectful. But I'm kind of on the fence. But I think that hopefully he could receive necessary treatment now to January from the Department of Corrections. That's just one individual's opinion at this super time that he's saying, but that's what I was saying at this moment.
Thank you, Dr. Ray. Mr. Neal, any other thoughts?
No, no words in the world. It's hard to define. I do have to agree with the appearance and everything. I ran up several levels of visual array with different kinds of cancer, and at the point where they were 6 months away from the end, they were not very ambulatory, not very capable of self-care or anything. And even talking to the doctor, I didn't get in her statements any sort of conviction to that. I know she can't predict it or anything, but
right.
We've had several of the doctors who were really in about 3 months, 6 months, maybe 7 months. I just think she had the status of the
All right. I'm going to make a motion then, and this is not an easy one, but I'm going to move that we not recommend this action to the governor and not pass this to, I guess it's to phase two.
So phase two.
We not recommend it to the governor then. That's my motion.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, seconded by Mr. Quinones and agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Neal. Okay. Mr. Sewell, the board has voted not to recommend your commutation to the governor, sir. We wish you the best. Understand that you're getting treatment where you are, sir. And you have a release date of January, let me get the date here. 19th, I believe it is. January 20th. Is it 20th?
I work on the 21st.
Oh, 21st.
I'm
No, I think you're right. I'm trying to find it. Oh, here, I know where it is. It's right here. January 21st of 2019. So that's only about 6 months away, sir. So we certainly we sympathize with your medical condition, and we wish you the best, sir. But at this time, the board is not recommending your case go forward to the governor. Okay, sir? So this concludes your hearing. We thank you. We hope you're feeling better after your dialysis. You can come back and put a blanket around your shoulders so you're not so chilly, sir. Thank you very much, and this concludes your hearing, sir. If you put the CO3 back on the phone, we appreciate it. You can put the CO3 back. Mm-hmm. Get the CO3.
The CO3?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Uh-huh.